Amen?
So let's just take that time, just right now, and just, can you just be thankful? Amen? Right here, what you're experiencing, just being alive, is a miracle. Breathing. Can you just take a breath? Come on, amen? Right there is a gift. That's a gift. That's a gift of God. Just that right there is a gift from God. I don't want to ever want to take it lightly. I don't want to ever look at it with not a heart of appreciation and thankfulness. That every minute, every day, everything that we are in this moment right now is we experience God. Sometimes I want you to know that, listen, when I said yes to Jesus, God didn't come alive for the first time. He was. And He is. And He is to come. He came forth in my life. Amen? I became aware of Him in my life. Tonight I'm going to talk about that. I'm talking about being born again, Spirit-filled. I want to kind of initiate something. I'm going to take my time on this for a minute. And sometimes we need to go over some things to get us understanding. And one of the reasons why I'm doing this is last week I talked about the Trinity and how that we flow in this Father, Spirit, Son, driven by what? Love. Come on. In this relationship, in this eternal commitment that He's placed within us, this eternal drive driven by the Spirit of God, that we could see it in the life of Christ. And what drove Him, it was that love. It was with that message, I am His beloved. Amen. That Jesus said that this is what drove Him. Before He did anything, before He did a miracle, before He did any signs and wonders, the Father declared to Him first, you are my beloved. Amen. So that's what drove Him. So I want us to understand something. How does this work? How do I understand these things that we can... And the reason why I'm laying some of these things out for us to understand this is for us to get the picture so that the next thing I want to do is bring us to a place where that we can evangelize, so that we can witness. Say witness. We can witness this message. It's a good news. Amen? Hallelujah. It's good news. It's a good message. And I understand that sometimes you say, well, I don't know how. I'm not sure how to do this. And that. That's okay, because you have the all-knowing, the almighty Spirit of God within you to direct you and guide you. He just wants you to be available. He wants you to be led by Him. Amen? In most unbelievable, unpredictable situations in your life, God will bring you into. Trust me. You have story after story of God using me to witness, and my wife to witness to people in the most peculiar places and manners. But being open to be witness to God and testimony of who He is. Amen? So we be driven. So I just want to, let me just thank God for this and pray. Hallelujah. As we get ready to receive the word. You know, I got another testimony. Susan came to me, it was a couple weeks ago, and she said, man, when the Spirit was really, really releasing something in the Spirit, in prayer, that I prayed that your ears would be open to the hearing of the Word of God. And when that Word came out, her ears popped. And to me at that moment, it was just symbolic. It was something where that there was a release. There's that God wants to do that. He wants you to have not just hear the Word, but hearing of the Word. That we hear the Word. Amen. That we can hear it speaking to me. Come on, amen. That we just don't read it, but it reads me. That's hearing it. It's when it reads me. Amen. So, come on. Are you ready tonight? You ready tonight? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your Word. We don't take it for granted. I thank You for the life You've given to us, God. I thank You for this opportunity that we could come. And God, Lord, we can be equipped, that we could come to full maturity as sons and daughters. Hallelujah. That we have been given this gift. And what do I do with it, God? Lord, that's what the question is, should be on our hearts. What am I doing with the responsibility that had been given to me, that this life, this new beginning, this source of life that I have now have because of you, God. And Lord, I just ask to God, Lord, each one of us just come to a greater understanding right here tonight as we walk and begin to experience and hear your word in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Hallelujah. So tonight, you know what today is? Wait, what? It's Ash Wednesday. It's very good. It's Ash Wednesday. I don't have any ashes, but what is Ash Wednesday? And I thought about it whenever, and the name of my sermon is Born Again, but that comes from repenting. It means you repent. And Ash Wednesday is when the Catholics come together and they repent, amen? And in the repentance, they profess their commitment to God, and that's a good thing, amen? We are to confess and profess our confession one to another, amen, and to declare that. So, but I want to give you a picture of tonight is that what took place that we can understand about being born again. But before we get into that, we got to understand some words and begin to see a picture of something and begin to get hold of this. We got to understand, like I said, that life is a gift. Tell someone life is a gift. Come on, life is a gift. Now, I just want to read a couple things here. And it says in John, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says, and the same was in the beginning with God. Wow. So this opens up with kind of like a poem, kind of to understand that, does it sound like there's something going on between the Spirit, the Son, the Word of God, and there's something going on, there's something happening, there's something creative. And I want you to understand something, that there's an initiation that's taking place. And this is speaking of a new beginning. Come on. Come on. A new creation. Say new creation. So God's bringing His people, and there's a declaration that comes forth in John where He's declaring that there's a new beginning to a new creation that's going to be brought forth through who? Jesus Christ. Come on, amen. He's going to initiate, hallelujah, this new life, and He's going to bring it to us that we can receive, say, this new life. So He's going to breathe in our midst, and we're going to receive this. So here's another picture we got to see. To understand this, we got to see the beginning. Say the beginning. And here it is. It goes right along with this, but it says it a little bit different. You got to catch the terms. And it starts off the same way. How does it start off? In the beginning. Say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. It was void. It had no form. And it says, in darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, I just wanted to give this to you to get an understanding of this. Here's this picture of God. It's the beginning of creation. So here is God bringing forth, and it begins with God. It says, in the beginning. What does it say? It says, God created the heavens and the earth. He says, and the earth was without form. I want you to understand something, that I am God's creation, and without Christ, I am without form. I am void. I'm in darkness. Come on, amen. I want you to see the picture, the narrative that He's bringing to us. He's showing this picture. And how is He going to come with this new creation? It's going to be through the Word. So God begins to go. The Spirit hovered. It hovered over the waters. Come on. And we've seen the picture where the Spirit of God hovered over Jesus when He was in the Jordan. Amen. And the heavens were open. So the Spirit of God is initiating life. He's waiting. What's He waiting for? Say the Word. Until the Word is spoken, He's not initiating anything. He's not working doing his own thing. Come on. It's in a flow of this Trinity of the Father and the Spirit and the Son in this unison. Come on, amen. In this combination. And all of a sudden, the Word was spoken. Listen. Here's what it says. And it says, and God said, let there be light. So God initiated it in the earth. What activated it? God's Word. Who brought it forth through the Spirit of God. Amen. The Spirit was hovering. And when the Word it was initiated through the Spirit of God into the earth. All of a sudden, all things began to be created in God's image and likeness. He began to create these things. Amen. So we could see here that God, He created man in His image and likeness. And it says that He took the clay, the ground. Amen. Listen. I'm not calling you a dirt bag, but the Bible does say that we're... But God solved that problem of us being created as dust dirt bags. But so here's this creation created. The only thing that He formed, say it's personal. He had it put His hands, hallelujah, in His creation, in you. Everything that He created, He said it was good until you. And He said it's very good. That word is meod. And the only way that you can really explain that word, which says very good, it means muchness. Muchness. Whew. Wow. Muchness. I can't even wrap that around it, but I want you to get the picture. So then God, it says that He created, put this man, and he was just a dirt bag. He was just this vessel. But God breathe. And all of a sudden, He became a living soul. Life entered Him because of the breath. Say breath. Now, there's a word for breath. There's a word for breath. But we got to understand that God initiates everything. And life comes forth, and there's a breath that's initiating this. Amen. So God, where does He initiate that? He initiates the beginning, because I want you to see something, that it flows side by side. The Spirit, the breath of God, flows with His words. How many of you guys know that you cannot say words without breath? See, but without that, it's just a thought. But with the Word and the Spirit, only the Spirit of God can instill life. To bring forth out of which is void, what is empty, can bring forth life. So here is God's Spirit, come on, amen, His manifest, His presence being activated in the earth, bringing all things, say all things, to life. So then here it is. So you see this being activated within Adam, and all of a sudden Adam, that means Adam means of the earth. So he's of the earth, say he's earthy. But then there's breath of heaven released within his life. See, God, that's God's intentions from the beginning, hallelujah, to breathe heaven into your earth as it is in where? Let it be done in, as it is in, let it be done in, let your ways that are higher, come on, there's a picture of what's heaven's higher, His thoughts, His ways, everything, His high is the higher, it's like the heaven is from the earth. The only way that you can explain it, that it seems like it's really far away. God's ways are so much farther away. His ways are perfect in all that He does. My ways are corrupt, come on, they're selfish. They're far from God. But God says, I want to initiate, as it is in heaven, my character into your life. We know how that God, man, broke that covenant that God had. But let me just explain this to you, that God initiates. So that word breath is a Hebrew word. One of them works. I know it. I can't remember. Which one was it? Do you remember? Is it green? Oh, good. It means covenant. Green. So here's this Hebrew word. And it is the word for breath. I'm going to make sure I spell it right. Is, we all know it. It is, I don't know if you, I'm sure you do. Say Ruach. Ruach. Now, some say it's with an S, but or an H, but some use the word with a U. Well, there's a U. So that word is Ruach. You got to kind of... Come and help me. Ruach. You got it. So here's the translation. It's Ruach. And it is spirit, and it is breath. So it's the breath and it is spirit. That same word is spirit and breath. It's the same thing. Come on, amen. It's the same bringing forth. It's the same definition and brought forth in a different way. So here's this example, that breath. So everything, hallelujah, because of the breath of God, it's because of God's spirit of who God is. Come on, amen. Say it's who He is. So God's life, His spirit is breath, hallelujah, that brings forth through His word and is declared, and everything comes alive, amen. And they receive the breath of God, the spirit and the breath of God that begins to come into their lives. I want you to understand something. Everybody who's born into the earth, you are born into sin, but you are given breath. It's not yours. It's borrowed. You to hear this. It's borrowed breath. It's a gift of God that He gives all creation. That every one of us, we got to understand this, that say it's a gift. It's a gift from God. And I thank God for this gift. And God, it's borrowed. Hallelujah. It's borrowed. Because what do I mean? That I'm born and I breathe, and all of a sudden, guess what? I die and my spirit leaves me. You okay? So this is that word. It means ruach. And the Greek word, it means this. It means, you don't pronounce the P, but it's called pneuma. That's an N. I'm sorry. I'm really butchering this up because I need to get a whole new system here. It means pneuma. Now, just real quick, how many of you guys know that we use that word, that it's pneumatic? Does anybody know what pneumatic means? Bam. It's operated by air. The pneumatic hammer, a pneumatic drill. It could work because of the air, because of the breath. So here's this definition, this ruach or pneuma in the New Testament. Come on. And the same thing, it means the same thing. But I want you to give you a couple scriptures to kind of make this, bring this together. Psalms 33. I'm going to try to do these really quick. Is that all right? Because I might not get all this done, but that's okay. Because it's important for us to see this. And this is a really awesome, awesome, awesome scripture. And it says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. And He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. Say it's full of goodness. Now you might not see it, but you do. Come on, amen. How many of you guys have ever stood, hallelujah, and looked and watched the sun? Amen. My brother always gets pictures. I always see him getting pictures all the time of sunsets and sunrises. And my wife's always, she's getting the picture with the sun coming up and the brilliance. Come on. You can't make this up. Come on, amen. That you got to just know and to have an understanding that it just does not come together. There has to be a creator in this thing. I'm smart enough to realize that things, we're sitting here today, these blocks and building did not just decide to come together and create itself. No, no, no. It was a vision, a thought. And in the beginning, God had a thought. And God brought that forth in His words. And He says, let there be life. He spoke it into existence. It was a thought first. I want you to hear this. You were a thought from the beginning of time in Christ. You were God's thought. And your life came forth when you took your first breath. That thought of God came alive. You ready? Is that good news? He says, and he loveth. He says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them, by the breath, the ruach. Say ruach, of his mouth. The breath of his mouth. Out of the breath of his mouth. Say breath. So all things begin with his breath. I want you to get the picture here. All things that are even in this, on this earth, that are earthy, were brought forth through his breath. For anything to come alive, it has to have his breath. I want you to see the picture, because God's bringing us to a place where that Jesus enters the scene. Here's this new creation coming forth with the breath of life within him, like no man has ever known. And it's not borrowed. Come on, amen. So listen, so he brings forth this, we see this image. I gotta read the rest of these here. Job. Can somebody just help me with these? Job 33:4. Okay? Marvin. Job 34:14-15. You read Job 33:4.
Yeah. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life.
The ruach of God. What does it do? It gives me life. Marvin. 34:14-15. Good. Read it again. Let me just say it. So if God withdrew his breath, we would turn to dust. I want you to see the picture here. In God's mercy, he's gifted us breath. Mercy. Isaiah, are you okay? Isaiah 4:5, it says, "And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke." That's not it. That's not it. No, I'm sorry. Somebody look up. That's Job 27, verse 3. And then I'm going to go to the last ones. Whoever gets there first, just shout it out. Shout. Shout, let it out. Who's got it? "And while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils." Now listen, it says it two ways to give you a picture that his breath and his spirit are the same. So all the while my ruach is in me, and the ruach of God is in my nostrils. Next one. Go to the next one. What does it say? "My lips shall not speak." Okay, next. That's right. So listen. So this is Acts 17. I'm saying all these for you to get a picture, because I want you to know that it is the breath of God that we have life. Come on, amen. This isn't my doings. This isn't your parents' doing. It's a gift from God. The moment that baby's born, come on, the first thing the doctor's concerned about, "Oh, how much does it weigh?" Now, when my daughter was born, I'm not getting into details, but when she was born, I was concerned. I want to see her breathing. Okay, yeah. So she was breathing. I couldn't get my breath, let alone. But when she began to breathe, I was at ease. How many of you guys know that you see somebody laying on the ground? What is the first thing you do? You go up to them and are they breathing? Is there life in them? Come on, amen. That ruach, breath. Listen. Acts 17:25. I want to give these to you. And it says, "And neither is God that made the world and all therein," who made it? "Seeing that he is Lord," thanks, brother, "of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands." Listen, he doesn't dwell. That's not God's intentions to dwell in temples made with hands. His intention, he shows us because he breathed life into us. So the existence of God is because I have life, he's in me. Okay? So listen. So catch this. And it says, "But it's borrowed." Come on, we've got to remind each other. It's borrowed. This is borrowed. So he says, "And he says, heaven and earth made at hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he need anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath," ruach, "and all things." He gives ruach to all things. Say all things. He says, "And he hath made one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined times and appointed time where that you have God's ruach in your life." Amen. "And the bounds thereof, their habitations." So tell someone you have a beginning and you have an end. So each one of us have an appointed end and appointed beginning. And this is what God gifts you with, this appointed thing. For what reason? Next verse. "That he hath made," he says, "that bounds," he says, "that we should." This is what happened. Listen, I want you to get this. "That we should" what? "Seek the Lord." Everything's initiated by God. Your life is initiated by God. And what it is for you to seek him. He says, "If happily they might feel after me." Listen, "and find me." I promise you this, if you just seek me, you will run into me. Because I'm everywhere. Some of the most awesome times is when I stand and look at the skies and I look at this. You bump into God everywhere you go. And he says, "that I might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from" who? "Everyone." This is mercy. This is awesome. Next verse. "For in him we live, we move, and have our being." He says, "for we are also his offspring." Next verse. "For as much then as we are his offspring of God, we ought not to think that we," the Godhead, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's good. It goes on to talk a little bit more. I don't want to have to explain. Because you get the picture. Amen? You got the picture? So here, the last one, so I can bring you to the conclusion of my first point. Can you look this up, Liza? Colossians 1:17. Tell me when you're there. You there? "And he is before some things." All things. Say all things. "And by him some things." All things, what do? Consist. I want you to understand something. Everything is held together by God. Everything. Everything that exists is an expression of some way or the other of God. Sometimes the animals in the sky represent him more than I do. that bring His image to light, but that's not God's intention. God says, it's nothing compared to you. Spectacular skies aren't compared to you. Because you're my beloved. There's nobody like you. You all right? So he says, so Romans 3:23. I like a lot of scriptures, all right? Let me guys know that this doesn't happen quickly. This takes time to put this together. So I want you to please hear what God's saying. Go ahead. Yeah. Say it one more time. Okay, I don't think that was it, but that's good. It's His breath, the ruach. So God brings it. So justice comes forth with God's ruach too, amen? So Spirit of God. So listen, so here it is. So Romans 3:23 says this. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being a witness by the law. What am I doing? That's not the right scripture. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. For all, there it is. For all have sinned and come short, what? Of the glory of God. I'm going to tell you what never comes short of representing God properly is the skies. And they don't go outside of what God spoke. The Bible says sparrows don't worry. But we do. We fall short of our image that God created us in. Every one of us falls short of that image and likeness. It says, so, for our wages of sin, this is Romans 6:23, for our wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So eternal life, not borrowed, say not borrowed, comes forth through the life that did not fall short of the glory of God, that now represents, is a representative of us. Come on, amen. The human that didn't fail, he never fell short. He never sinned. Now, here's this representative that stands before all creation. To manifest God's image and likeness in the earth. To bring forth God's ruach, the new beginning into our lives. So listen, John 3, here's where we go. We're going to enter into these. And this, hear me tonight. I want you to catch this. You all right? John 3, okay? And this is a picture, and we got to understand this, that he brings this out. I'm not going to get to where I really need to be, but tissue. Thanks. So here's this picture. I'm not drawing it. I'm just seeing if this one works. Nope, I got to throw these away. And it doesn't come out, it's the marker. Okay, so listen. So here it is. So he says this. He says, John 3, and it says, and there was a man, Pharisee, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was in high place. And it says, and the same came to Jesus by night. Say Nick at night. He came by the cover of darkness. But something happened for him to even come in the midst of darkness. I want you to know that we come to him in our darkness. We come to the light. Come on. It's not anything that I have. Come on, amen. I don't have anything. I come from that place of brokenness. Unfortunately, he's not coming with that agenda. He's got a different agenda. But I want you to get the picture. The reason why he came is the setting. What did Jesus, where did he just come? He went to his temple. He thought it was his. And he flipped over all the tables. He made an incredible display. And he says, my Father's house. He defined it in a way that he said, this is my house. With authority. And then after that, he healed everybody. Everybody that wanted to be healed. Everybody that was in that temple. Everybody there that got robbed, that did not get the answer, got healed. All those ones that tried to come to get what man was offering, couldn't find it. But through Jesus, the new beginning was arrived. So here he comes. He comes in. He said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher. So he doesn't come saying, who do we know him as? The Messiah. The Christ. He doesn't call him that. He calls him teacher. Is he a teacher? Yes. So he calls him teacher. And he says this to him. He says, teacher, come from God. You come from God. He says, for no man can do the miracles that you do except God be with him. So there's an understanding there, an agreement that he says, I understand and I agree that you come from God as a teacher for God. So listen, he comes in with this. He's really seeking, but I want you to know, it's kind of like that he's coming behind the scenes to find out really what's going on. And can I offer you some assistance? Can I help you? Because I'm a worker of God. I'm a teacher. And we have decided, that we can help you. But you just got to follow some correction. This is pretty much what he's saying. Pretty much. I want to find out, we know that you're of God, but let us help you. We're old. We've been doing this a long time. So Jesus answered him. Not the way that you would think. How does he answer him? Verily, verily. I say, verily, verily. That sounds important. He says, except a man be born again. What? He throws this out. He takes this man off guard. He says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Are you ready? He says, and Nicodemus said unto him, now this guy's smart, but he's not looking for the deepness of this. He's looking at the front value. He's looking at the borrowed life. And he's looking at his life and he's saying, I got things pretty good. I want you to get this picture, because everything in his life was comfortable. He was good. Say he's good. In his own eyes, he's good. He doesn't see himself the way that Jesus comes across. Because listen, you need a new beginning. Say new beginning. And he thought he was on the way. He thought he was this epitome of holiness. That he was this exemplary figure of morality. He did things right. He followed the scriptures. But I want you to understand something. It was out of his effort and his ability. God says that for 1500 years, man has broken the covenant of God. Not followed the agreement that keeps breaking it and breaking it and breaking it. But yet in their own eyes, they think, and God says, listen to me, you got to be born again. This really takes him off guard, because he says this. He says, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born who's old? Can he enter? I mean, this sounds like kind of cocky. Like he's trying to teach Jesus something. Remember, he's a teacher. He came to give Jesus some advice. He says, how can he enter the second time? Assuming that what he meant was that in your first birth that you had it all together. Jesus is like, no. Say false start. See, you had a false start. He says, your source isn't God, but it's your own ability. It's your own strength. You've tried to get there this way, but I'm here to tell you, you need to be born again. You need a new starting point. You need a new beginning. The slate be clean. I want you to get this picture. You okay with me? Look happy at me. So he says this, he says, and so Jesus says to him, he says, verily I say unto you, except a man, and he changes the reference. Come on, amen. I want you to say he's bringing it the same way. And I don't got time to get into some the theology sometimes people, and you'll understand when I bring it to the end. But what he uses is the word born again. Say born again. He uses this word, and you know, sometimes we, this is awesome because Jesus doesn't come right out and say, you need to be born of the Spirit. You need to be, the word actually means anothean. Can you say that? Anothean. And the word anothean means from above. So you need to be born, say from above. And you can find that in John 3:31. Look it up real quick so we don't think I'm lying. Because Jesus eventually says it to him. He says this. He that cometh from above is above all. He says, and he that is of the earth is earthly. And he speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. That's not it. Hang on. I wrote that down. Hang on, sorry. I know where it is. Oh yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, he that cometh from above, he says, is earthy. He says, but he that cometh from heaven, from above. Yeah, from above. Say above. Above. Though he comes, who's higher, from his ways are higher. So listen, so he's got to get a new beginning because he was born of the earth. Come on, amen. But you need to be born of an incorruptible seed. The earth is corruptible. But God says he comes and presents, you need to be born again. You need a new start. And I am the seed to bring forth the life in you. So you need to be born again. And he says you need to, that word is, like I said, it's anothean, born from above. And he says, and I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Can you look up Titus 3:5 while I keep going? So it's new beginning. To be brand new. Say new source. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing, regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So here's this washing, what? A cleansing that he brings forth. You need to be washed because we've been dirty. He didn't see it this way. He didn't understand this. He said, you got to be washed, hallelujah, and you be renewed by the Spirit of God, amen? There's a purification that takes place, and we see that in the outer court of the whole, the tabernacle, the outer court, the big place, and what's there? The brazen altar and the brazen laver. It's a brazen laver. And do you know what the brazen laver is made out of? Mirrors. That are melted, that they brought from where? Where? Egypt. What do you look in a mirror and see? An image. Listen. So when you look into the Word of God, you renew your image. Stuff up, man. So what were they doing? They were renewing their minds. So listen, so when you're born again, that's what takes place. By the washing of the word, we're renewing our mind, that we take forth what he gave to us. Amen? That there's a renewing that takes place within us, a regeneration, that I become brand new. Say brand new. So, but here's the problem. See, he doesn't see this picture. He doesn't get it right away. And he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Let me just explain it. I can't get any more easier than this. That which is flesh is flesh. And that which is spirit is spirit. You're not of the spirit, you're of the flesh. Listen, here's what a perfect example of this. How many of you guys, say I have a cherry tree in my front yard. And I've had it grows sometimes. You get a little bit, a couple of cherries, they're hard to grow. You get some cherries, sometimes you get nothing on it. So you decide, you know what? I'm going to work at this, and I'm going to prune it, I'm going to water it. Next year comes around, what am I going to get?
Cherries.
What would make me think, Nicodemus, that you're going to get oranges? Nothing that you do in your ability. Why? Because of where it's rooted. He come to cut that corruptible seed, that root that tied us to the earth. Come on. He cut the tree. Come on, amen. He cut the root. He is the tree of life. Amen. He's our new beginning, our new source, that we be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, his image and his likeness, that I can bring forth fruit. Amen. So now, when I'm born again, all of a sudden, I am brought forth into this new life in Christ. It's not about what I'm doing, it's who I'm being. It's the life of God coming out of me. It's not me trying to get God. It's knowing that I have God. That he's with me. Come on, amen? Are you all right? So, the source. I can never, with all my heart, do everything I can. I want oranges, but as much as I prune the tree, I work at it. That's what we do. That's what we do in religion. That's what we do. We have to have a new beginning. That needs to be cut, that I could be born again. Because my life is borrowed. I need a restart. I need to come alive again. With what? Ruach. Here we go. You ready? Here's the picture. Say two Sundays. Be a second. You got that? You all right for a second? Two Sundays. And here it shows in John 20. There's two Sundays that take place here. And I want us to see this. And it says, and Jesus, he's risen. Say it's Sunday. If Jesus is alive, okay? Here's his believers. Now, I want you to get the picture here. They've confessed that he's their Lord. Right? They've confessed it. They said he's the Messiah. He has. But there's one thing that they have not done, because the Bible says, what does it say? For me to be saved. Unto salvation. But I believe that he has risen from the dead. I confess with my mouth, and I believe in my heart that he's risen. Say he's alive. That's key. See, because him rising is what gives me life. See, if he's in the grave, but he's not. See, because he's a seed. And that seed is the life, the source, the breath, the ruach, that all of a sudden, now I can receive this life by the Spirit of God. Oh, you ready for this? This is good. And it says, and then the same day evening, but being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut. I could preach that. He says, the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. He says, and Jesus stood in the midst, and he said unto them, peace be unto you. Now I want you to get the picture that this is an encounter You got to have an encounter with Jesus. There has to be an encounter with Jesus. And every one of us have different encounters with Jesus. There was moments where I come to the realization that it's a long story, but there's this moment I was at this concert and it was DeGarmo and Key, and man, it really touched my heart. And I realized that, man, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I feel like all this stuff about me, and I received Christ as my Savior. Tell someone there's more. And the power that there is in Jesus tells us there's more. Listen, don't you want more if God says there's more? Come on. Don't you want more? If God says there's more, hallelujah. Listen, that God just didn't save me to go to heaven. Amen. There's more than that. Say there's more. Come on. He just did not save me for me just to get in by the skin of my teeth. He did not just save me that I could just wait and hold on to their life and say, I got to make it to the line. That's not what God, hallelujah, is in pictured, and that's not the picture I'm giving you. Come on, amen. That we are to be bold overcomers and powerful, and He's given us everything that we need to overcome. We're not wimps. Come on, amen. We're not wimps. So get this picture. And he said, then Jesus said, oh yeah, I'm sorry. And when He had so said, He showed unto them, what did He show them? What's the only thing missing? They confess that He's Lord, but the only thing missing is in their heart that He is risen. So what does Jesus show up and do? He says, look. What is the evidence of? He's risen. Now by faith we receive it because it's a spoken word of God. It's the same as what He received. They received. The Word of God came, presented to us. The Word of God. You know, this is the Word of God. This is the spoken Word. The Word became flesh. They had it in the flesh. Now we receive it in faith. Now He says to us, here, look, do you believe this is what happened? That Jesus went to the cross. He died for you. Hallelujah. That you can have life. And He rose. And because of that, now you can have life. You have a restart, brand new, brand new. You are tied into a source, amen, that will never die. Eternal life. All right, so here. So He says, and when He had said this, He says, then the disciples glad, and they were glad. That's really an understatement. It really is. But don't you think, look, and then were the disciples glad? I think He could have really maybe added something. But are we that way? I hope we're not, man. I'm glad. I want to be more than that, but I think it's just an understatement that there was something more than that. But He says, and when they saw the Lord, it says, then Jesus, and to them again, peace be unto you. But here's where it comes alive. He says, He has sent me, and even so I send you. And when He had said this, He breathed. Whew. He breathed spirit upon them, and they received the Spirit of God into their life. They're born again. I want you to get this picture that I believe, I confess in my heart that He is risen from the dead. You're saved. That's what the requirements are. Believing and receiving this. That brings this hope alive within your heart. This reality becomes true within you if you believe. This is a new beginning right here. Every one of us, it's more than just, oh, this is power. This is amazing. This is that moment right there where you have this moment with Jesus. I want you to know that we got to have that moment of my do this, where I do this, that it's not just somebody else do it, but I make this declaration, I make this confession, and I confess Him as Lord, and I believe in my heart that He's risen, and I come to that place saying, God, I need You, that I know, God, I want You to be my Lord, hallelujah. God, Lord, I need You to come alive. I need a new source to be my strength within me, and at that moment, but here's the thing, do you remember a guy shows up, and his name is Thomas. And he says this, he says, what does he say? Listen, Listen, and he says, in the 8 days again, Jesus shows up again. Now, I want you so far here, you can begin to count how many times Jesus appeared. Save that in your mind for some other day. But count how many times he appeared. He kept appearing. I want you to know that I just don't want him to appear when I am saved. I need an appearing of Jesus every day. A continual appearing of him in my life. The reality in me coming at all of what he did for me. And the reality of now I have this life that's eternal. I'm not living on borrowed time. Now I've stepped into the reality of eternity through Jesus Christ. So here he says this. Jesus, here he goes. Jesus, he is the door. He don't need a door to go through. He is the door. I love that. It's beautiful. And he says, and Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. But here's the thing. Before that, he says, but this is Thomas. He said he went into a 12 and he wasn't there. And he says, except I see his hands. Except I put my hands in it, touch him. Except I do this thing. We give him a hard time, but I want you to know, I need to be like that. I need to be at a place, not doubting him, but be at a place where that, listen, I cannot go by what you said. I need to see the appearing of Christ in my life. I need to see him. Come on, amen. I need to have this experience in my life, hallelujah, by faith. I need to receive it. And he says, listen, you've seen the real thing. He says, but those that don't naturally see it in the flesh, blessed are they. You're those that are believing. Come on, amen. But it's more real to me than even if I stand there and see it with my natural eyes. It's a confession in my heart that makes it real. Amen? All right. Give me another scripture. Romans 10, he says, and they believed in their heart. This is personal. Say it's personal. Personal encounter with the resurrected Christ. Wow. John 10:10 says this. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life. How many of you guys know that I've just encountered what? Life. I've come to give you life. Tell your neighbor there's more. I've just not come to give you life, but I've come to give you life more abundantly. Say more. More. Abundant means overflow. An overflow. An overflow. You got it, but I want to overflow you. So he begins to present something, there's more. Come on. So he shows us this in the Bible. I got to give this to you. All right? Just for a minute. You got a second? Anybody got a curfew? All right. Say there's more. The Bible says it this way. It says, out of your bellies will flow of what? So out of the life will flow rivers. Where? Out of where? Out of you. But Jesus says this, and there's a whisper. Can you just look that scripture up? What's the next verse? I'm sorry. Out of your, that's John, or 18. What is it? Sorry. John 7, 3 and 38. John 7, 3, 38. It says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly. So listen, when you believe in him, say there's more. Out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. Next verse, there's a parenthesis. Do you see the? It's like this. He's speaking and all of a sudden he turns and says, to you, the reader, specifically to say this to us. It's not being said there. Jesus didn't say this in parentheses. So he says, but this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. Those that believe should receive. So there's something more. You all agree with me? And he says, for the Holy Ghost was not yet come, because that Jesus was not yet glorified with the Father. Because Jesus says, when I go to the Father, I will send a comforter. Here's what we have a problem with, the theology sometimes. There's some people who believe, well, you're filled with the Holy Spirit when you're saved. You're right. Then there's others ones that believe, well, no. You're not filled till you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You're both right and you're both wrong. Because it's both. Here, how do I know this? Because listen to me, no one can come to Jesus without the Spirit. So Jesus breathed His Spirit into us. So every one of us who are born again, you've received the Spirit of God. But there's more. There's more. I want you to get this. I received Christ in my life, but God says, I receive life, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven. But God says, listen, and after that moment, I went out and battled addiction time after time. And nobody presented to me that there's more. Nobody presented to me that there's more. Because God, I want to give you life abundantly. I want you to be filled, overflowing with the Spirit of God, that you have power to overcome. See the difference here? All right, you ready? All right. So, he says this in Luke 24. I'm trying to do this quick. 24:44. This is after they were breathed upon. Amen? Austin, can you kill the heat? And it says, I feel like I'm being purified by the Holy Spirit right now. If there's anything in me, ain't no more. And these are the words which I spoke. All right, next one. I'm sorry. Verse 44. Did I say 44? He says, and it is written. He said, beloved, it says, and his repentance and remission of sins. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But, say but. Tarry. Where? In the city of Jerusalem. Until. Say until you've been endowed with power. So I want you to take what you got, and if you're hungry, if you're thirsty for more, I want to empower you. Remember this, I want you guys to get this picture, man. These guys have battled a lot of things. This is Peter, that he's battled denying Jesus. He received Him as Savior. Sometimes that's our lives without the power. You're meant to be power assisted. You're meant to have the promise of the Holy Spirit in you, the Comforter. Next week I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk about what the characteristics of the dove, the Spirit of God, and what He brings, and all the understanding of the Holy Spirit, so we can get a picture of it. Not my opinion, but the Word of God. Is that all right? Amen. You good? Because you don't want my opinion. Right. So... And it says, so he said this, he says, in the promise, say there's more. And he says in Acts, so we just jump over into Acts 1. And here is another picture of Jesus saying it, all right? He has not ascended yet. Jesus has not ascended up into glory yet. He's still on the earth, appearing. And he says, and being assembled together, then he commanded them, he says, don't depart from where? Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. And John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days from now. Now, there's a whole bunch to this thing to understand that that 50 days. It's 50 days now, and then Pentecost comes. I'll get into that next week. Because remember, the details are amazing with God. So he says this, and he says, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom again? He says, well, I'm going to jump to this. He says, but you shall receive. So he says this. They asked him this question. They said, Lord, will you do this now? Are you going to take over with power, natural? Here's these guys again talking about the natural. You've just been born again. They haven't been enlightened, man. They're still walking in that in their strength and their ability still in that way. They're still fighting that thing. But God says you need empowered. And this is what he says. No, he said, but he says this. But you. He says, no, don't worry about that. And then he gives them the answer. What does he say? But you. Lord, are you going to bring your power on the earth and do all these things? No. But you. Are you getting a picture? You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto what? Unto Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the world. You go out that you're going to be empowered to be a witness to the world. That what's inside you is you're going to be empowered to release out of you. Listen, get this picture. When I receive Christ in my life, I receive Jesus. Like I receive him into my heart. Right? But when I am filled with the Spirit of God, it's me. It's the Holy Spirit getting me. When I'm born again, I get Jesus. But when I am filled with the Holy Spirit, it's me giving my life, my will, my emotions. Come on, amen. In that soul where that God begins to come from that place of the Spirit and begins to overwhelm. Come on. Do you see the picture of three? Why is there a three there? I'm going to tell you why. Because Jerusalem, hallelujah, is the city of God. Your spirit is the city of God. He says, in Judea, come on, it's the next, it speaks to your soul. And Samaria is the outside, is the body that which represents you in the world. So God says, listen, you're going to be able to be a witness, hallelujah, that your soul is not going to bully you around anymore, but you are going to have the authority to speak to your soul that has controlled you, that has empowered you. Now, the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. See, we walk, we are led. See, that's what I understand. But listen, I received Christ in my life that I must do. But God does not take the Spirit. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not led. God does not force me. Tell somebody he doesn't force you. He does not force you to enter into the walking with him. To this greater reality. He doesn't force you. He says, here, there's more. Do you trust me? Ask. He says, "And I'm a good father. I will not give you something bad. I'll give you something good. I want everything that God has. I want everything that God has. I do not want to not take hold of everything that he's provided for me. And I've been given that reality. It's the same spirit, but it's overflowing. And it doesn't just happen. Somebody said to me one time, well, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit back in 1972. Maybe that's your problem. Maybe you need to continue. Because the Bible says this is continual. It means to walk, say influenced. The Bible says that we are not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled. Being, say being. It's not a one-time thing. It's being under. See, listen, when you... Can I do something in a natural? When you're drunk, you're under the what? Of a... Another word. That influence makes me do things that I remember being... Trust me. For some reason, I thought I could drive my friend's brand new aunt's car with the stickers on it, 160 miles an hour. In front of Riley's Fun Spot. Drunk. under the influence. With 100 and some joints in the car. You know what happens when you hit another car and poof. I'm going to give you a picture. See, I'm going to give you this picture. That I was under the influence. I wasn't myself. I was under the influence of another. And I received it by opening my mouth and drinking. God says, listen, drink. If you're thirsty, you want to receive the Spirit? Here's what the requirements are. Those that are thirsty. And don't just drink once. Keep coming. I want you to know that God's looking for some drinking friends. I'm being real. He's looking for some drinking friends. Ones that, guess what? Hallelujah. That will disrupt what they're doing to come and take a drink with Him. That will disrupt whatever it is. Hallelujah. That they would be under the influence of the Spirit of God. That what used to get hold of them. See, when I was under the influence, I would do things that I normally would do. You, when you're under the influence of the Spirit of God, you will do things you won't normally do with control, because the Spirit will not do anything outside of your control. You have that will. You surrender. But the still, you can stop it. Some people are afraid of speaking in tongues because they're afraid. Listen, I'm here to tell you, it's under your control. I'll talk about that next week. But listen. All right? You okay? Let me finish. So he said, you all right? First, 1 second. Play some music so I can finish. Like that helps. So, real quick, picture of Jesus. This is just an example. This is what I believe. Is that all right? I think it kind of goes along with all this stuff. So Jesus, creating this new beginning, He comes to the shore of the Jordan, and He baptized. How many guys know that Jesus did not need to repent from anything? Why do you do it? He did it to give me an example of a new beginning, of being saved. He didn't have to get saved. He was Jesus. But He showed me this picture of being saved. Into His death and burial and resurrection. So when you're baptized, when you go down one person, you come up another. That old person's dead. So it's symbolic. So this same thing with your salvation, if you believe that that's what took place. We do it symbolically when we baptize people. But listen, that's not what gives you saved. It's symbolic of that thing. The power is in the faith believing that that really happened to you. So then, what happens? The sky's open. What falls upon Him? Spirit. The next verse says this. Jesus, in Luke, being full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus. He's showing me I need to be full. And He was led where? Like you said, into the wilderness, into the world, into situations. See, I want you to know that Jesus says, listen, don't go any further. Don't go no further without being filled. We need to not leave. We need to stand in our place. We need to be at always that place saying, God, I need to be filled. I need to overflow in my life. I need the influence of Your Spirit within every aspect of my life. I want You to infect every area of my life. We've seen that picture of this dance. It's a dance. Man, I looked this up because I had I just kept seeing this as I was preaching. This thing, the Father, the Spirit, and the Son, it reminded me of a dance that He's invited you into. And I found out that the Trinity was spoken in the 7th century by these priests. And they gave this example of the Trinity as a dance. And it's called the Pericoursis. I'm probably chopping that up. It's a Greek. And it was a symbol of a dance. Because with the Greeks, they had this dance with three people. And the three people would... Could you come here? Could you come here too? Can you guys get a circle on three? It was three. Could you guys just get hold each other hand? Okay. Here's this. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And here's this. Can you just go around the circles? Just kind of. See, do you see the rhythm here? See, they're working in unison. They're working in unison. But listen, they don't outstep one another. They're unison. They're working together. See, this is walking in the Spirit. This is coming in. That Jesus brought us in to this eternal dance that takes place. This picture of the Father invites you in. So you will come in through the Son into this intimate relationship. But they go faster. You guys don't have to go faster. But listen, here you guys sit down. But the picture is this. They go faster. And what happens is, you can't tell who's who. Because they flow in rhythm. They're not interrupting one another. They prefer one another. That's the relationship. That this is the church. This is what God looks like His church, His family. His family to be. That they realize how valuable we are. That you're in this dance with me. That we're dancing together. We're coming. He's invited me to the dance. Say yes. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want influenced by that love that flows. Would you stand to your feet? But I need to surrender. It's more than just being born again, which is beautiful, it's powerful. That's a perfect aspect. That's 30-fold. That's what gets you in. But He just did not come. Hear me. He did not come just to get me to heaven. But He has come to get heaven in me. Not for me just to go to heaven, but for me to express heaven, the Spirit out of my life to one another. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We ask You, God, Lord, that we... This word, hallelujah, God, Lord, You said to God, Lord, that there would be a lack or a hunger. But God, Lord, I hear the Spirit calling people to come to a place to hunger and thirst for You. That they want more. They want more. Father God, Lord, I believe that these ones that are here have an ear to hear, God. Those that could not make, I pray to God, Lord, that You stir within their hearts. I pray to God, Lord, that we come to a place that we realize my life is borrowed. And we have this life that God wants us to enter into for eternity. This life of abundance. So, Father God, I pray that, God, Lord, that we receive it and walk in it with power. We give You glory and we give You honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, so I just pray that you come. And listen, if you're thirsty next week, if you're thirsty next week, come. Because receiving the Holy Spirit, there's going to be an outpouring. You hear me?